So joining me right now is Willem Els. He's a Senior Training Coordinator on Terrorism and Explosives for the Transnational Threats and International Crimes Program at the Institute for Security Studies. He's no stranger to Chai FM. And good morning. How are you, Willem?
Good morning to you. Very well, and you?
Well, a little bit neurotic, actually. Just in case I wasn't neurotic enough. Actually, I'm not neurotic, but I really am concerned about the Islamic State of Africa being established. And not only that, I'm also quite alarmed at mainstream media not reporting it.
Yeah, that is concerning. So if you just take one step back and you can look at it from the outside in, we see that there are basically two organizations that have been designated as terrorist organizations by the United Nations, and the one being Al-Qaeda and the other one being the Islamic State.
Right.
So that is a bit problematic if one of those organizations now want to register or registered a political party in South Africa. Of course, they're going to bring with them their manifesto, and what goes with all their policies and principles. And the challenge that we have with that, okay, we are part of the international community. We have to align ourselves as signatory of the United Nations. There are 19 international instruments that are curbing and working against terrorism. We are signatory of all of them. So we have to make sure that we align ourselves with all of that. So that's just from the outside. Now in South Africa, we've got our constitution. Our constitution is one of the most progressive constitutions in the world. But still, there are some limitations, and there are some things that you, as a political party or a company, have to adhere to. And if your manifesto doesn't align with that, it creates quite a few problems.
Okay. So can we also just take another step back? A number of South Africans, we don't actually know exactly how many, but went off to fight for ISIS in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
They returned to South Africa. Do we have any idea of how many people that entails?
You know, the sad story about it, it happened over a period where our intelligence and many of our other security institutions have been captured by the state capture that minimized our capacity in order to effectively monitor it. What we know that quite a few of them did return, and there was also a charter plane that was sent to Istanbul, I believe, where Durko actually arranged for the repatriation of about just over 100 people that got stuck there back to South Africa. So what should have happened, and we do not know if it happened, you know, then your intelligence agencies have to monitor these people, they have to be debriefed, and they have to be processed in order to see whether the charges can be laid against them or they should be prosecuted, et cetera, et cetera. But up till now, we have not seen that.
Is that a genuine security threat to South Africa?
Yeah, I think once again, you know, South Africa is currently being grey-listed by FATF. Now, FATF is the Financial Action Task Team that also form part of the instruments of the European Union and the United Nations. And South Africa being sanctioned, we've been there for almost 2 years now. We're not getting out of it because we still do not adhere to all the immediate outcomes in order to conform and to bring South Africa's legislation and all our actions in alignment with all the 19 instruments and also with curbing counterterrorism funding, but also money laundering. So that is a severe challenge for us. South Africa has been branded a hub for terror funding. Their funding being originated recruited here, and then from here it is just being disseminated to these terrorist organizations according to the FATF task team.
Incredible. So what do we do about it? Okay, firstly, let's just talk about the leadership, actually, before we talk about what we can do about it. So the head of Islamic, the Islamic State of Africa is Farhad Huma. What do we know about him, Willem?
That complicates the case a little bit, because Farhad Huma was one of the main suspects in the Ottawa bombing case where where they killed one of the imams and also some injured. There was later an IED found in the room there, and then also it was also linked to the extortion cases at Woolworths at the Durban July and some spa outlets, etc. And all of that, it emanated, it was to generate funding for ISIS. But unfortunately, that case was botched by the DPCI as well as by the NPA, and it was actually struck off the roll by the magistrate. So we do not have any conviction of him as yet, even though there are many pointing to him as being one of the main supporters of terror funding. But also, he's been designated by the United Nations Department of Treasury as one of the main kingpins of terror funding from South Africa.
Yeah, and something else to watch is drugs. A big, big part of terror funding comes through drugs as well, right?
That is right. Yeah, you know the nexus between terrorism and transnational organized crime is right. It is there. You know, organized crime can do without terrorism, but the terrorists, they cannot work without organized crime. They depend on them in order to generate, to move their funding, to secure their weapons, and.